All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Have an opening track all set up and everything?
Yeah, baby.
Wow, look at you. You get more and more proficient each week. I like this.
No, I don't know what I'm doing, really.
No, not at all.
Neither no, not I. Really.
All righty, then.
Wait,
this
wait.
Is...
Wait.
What?
Clear your throat first. Now, eat something.
I don't have anything to eat. Hold on. A piece of paper. cardboardy goodness.
Okay, we're ready to go. Do it, Matt. Loud and clear.
This is Geek Stuff, episode 60, Missing in Action.
Still missing in action.
Still missing in action. No idea where he is. He disappeared.
No, we have to move to a new studio, Studio F.
That's right. No access to the archive. You know, I don't have my comfy folding chair that I normally have. Well, Studio F's kind of nice, actually.
That's a leather chair. Come on.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's a
Look
little
at these
bit nicer.
Studded leather wing chairs we have in here.
Excellent.
I'm Humidor over it. In the corner.
Very nice.
Everything
Very
is nice. Green and brown and rustic.
TV's not as big, but that's okay. I'll get by.
But there's more of them, though.
there is more of them. And actually, I think everything probably in here actually works, which is the difference between here and the primary studio.
And it's paid for.
Oh, right.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum.
All right.
So we are missing Big Kev again tonight. He is seriously missing in action. No clue where he disappeared to. We recorded episode 58 about a month ago, I think at this point, and we haven't seen or heard from him since.
So if you have heard from him or you have seen him, there is a reward for information that may lead to his capture. Bringing him back. And it's a very small reward, but please let us know. What's that email?
BigKevsGeekStuff@gmail.com.
That's right. I'm Mr. Fantastic, and we have Matt in the studio today.
We do.
Like
the other guy.
Every day.
You know, we got an email
the
other day, and it said, "Hey, Big Kev, Mr. Fantastic, and rest of Geek Stuff crew."
That hurts, man.
That's terrible. I felt like garbage, and I'm the one that reads these damn things.
You look like garbage.
Thanks. Gee. Sorry, I can't be as charming and pretty as Kevin.
No.
No?
No.
Not
no
at
chance.
All right. We're going to move into this show then?
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman directing Death. At least that's the rumor.
Okay. And this is, which Death is this? I'm not familiar with Death.
This, I'm guessing, would be The High Cost of Living, which would be the original Neil Gaiman Death miniseries.
Okay.
There's been some rumors floating around that he actually is going to helm the project, which is not what we had originally heard.
Is this something that I should be excited for?
I don't know. He's never directed before.
Oh, so is this his first time directing a movie?
Directing a movie, yes.
Okay.
He did have something to do with the production of the BBC version of Neverwhere.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who may or may not be familiar with that. Personally, Neverwhere was... slight travesty, but
I don't know that one.
But it's based on a Neil Gaiman book. Well, actually, flip-flop that. The book is based on the BBC series.
Okay.
And I believe he had something to do with production, but I don't think he directed.
Sadly, the only thing by Neil Gaiman that I've read, and I think this is right, was 1602. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
And that is a shame.
Yeah, because it really wasn't that good.
I suggest reading some of the Sandman graphic novels at the very least. But to be honest with you, I think that he shines better in his regular novels.
Okay.
American Gods, Good Omens, Neverwhere. Anasi Boys.
I'll pick one of those up and I'll start on it.
Et cetera.
I'll have a book report ready by next week.
Excellent.
And that's by that, I mean like next month.
When 59 comes out.
Hey.
Just saying.
What else?
So we've heard about a Teen Titans movie. We've heard about a Superman sequel. And now they're talking about... oh, no, wait. I screwed that up completely. But that's okay. We heard about a JLA movie.
That's all right. We're live.
Yeah, I like live. We heard about a JLA movie and a Superman sequel, but now they're talking about a Teen Titans movie.
These are the angular cartoon?
Well...
Teen Titans is a comic first.
It is a comic.
Foremost, right? Okay.
It is a comic. It was a cartoon. Now they're talking live action.
Mm-hmm.
Another large scale Warner Brothers, too many actors and people on the same screen at the same time to be a good movie film.
What was Robin's name? Who was the actor that played Robin in Batman and Robin?
Chris O'Donnell.
O'Donnell. He's coming back for that, right?
I hope not.
God damn it.
Holy rusted metal Batman.
No. Yeah, that was
that was terrible.
That was a blatant use of the holy, but it was
well,
good.
I think it was kind of in there as a fun little...
It's rusted metal.
No, what?
What a dork.
What a bad movie. Ew. I'm getting angry just thinking about it. Don't do that to me. So Warner Brothers is talking about doing another big super team movie. First of all, when they don't have the first super team movie fully developed to see how it works out, that would be Justice League, of course. I think it's a big mistake to move on to something like the Teen Titans. I think we've proven time and time again with both Batman films, Spider-Man films in recent history, that too many characters in one movie does not a good movie make.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a hard task. There's a lot of work that has to go into getting them all on the screen and making them somewhat significant.
You know, it sucks because when you hear that there's going to be a movie about a certain property, you think to yourself, oh, it'll be awesome. I'll see all the different characters and I'll get to, you know, see what they look like on screen and what the depiction is. And then when you get to the movie, you see them all and you say, I really wish he wasn't in the movie because he's in there for about 30 seconds or less, or even less. You know, X-Men, it happened. You see, you know, a couple guys.
Right.
Maybe in X-Men 2, I think you see Colossus, right?
And he's for like 30 seconds.
Right.
He's like running out of a house.
Yeah.
Kind of turns metal real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, the first X-Men film kind of handled the team thing all right, but there were definitely players that were a lot stronger, and maybe that's how they have to do something like Teen Titans, where you maybe focus on three or four and the rest kind of fall into the background. Mm-hmm. But even that, I think, is a very delicate balance, and if not handled properly, just going to flop.
Okay, I'm going to make the general stereotypical statement that the comic book version of the story will always be better than the movie adaption. There will never be a movie adaption that's better.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we're in agreement.
We are.
Where's Kevin?
I don't know.
Okay.
There's no dynamic when we're in agreement. Kevin would make us argue or something. Well, while we're talking about big team, big cast movies, Warner Brothers has announced today, Thundercats, live action.
Ho. And who plays Lion-O?
Ah, no casting decisions yet, my friend. It's still in pre-production script work.
This is a lot of live action fantasy-based things.
It is.
That's risky.
I think Thundercats is a huge, bad, terrible risk.
Who could play Panthro?
I don't even know.
You know,
who could play any of them?
You know, it's going to be like...
I hope Snarf is animatronic.
Sam Jackson. It's going to be Sam Jackson.
As every role. That's it. Sam Jackson is the next Eddie Murphy. It's going to be Thundercats starring Sam Jackson. Even
he's
Mumra.
He's got to be in any 80s movie, any revival 80s live action depiction.
Thundercats on a plane. Oh, so I don't know. You know, people have been talking about this online all day, and I've been following some of the message boards, and they're saying, oh, Thundercats, that could work. If Transformers can work, Thundercats can work. And I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I, for some reason, in my warped, twisted, bizarro mind, somehow the giant robots work better than the half-human, half-cats in a fantasy world with a magical sword.
I don't think that there's anybody as fit as the Lion-O and the Thundercats are portrayed on TV.
I don't know. Gerard Butler in 300.
You know, I still didn't see that.
Oh.
Despite Kevin's recommendations that I should take a look at his abs. But that's from Kevin. You know how he is.
Right. July 31st on DVD, by the way.
All right.
300. So.
HD DVD?
No, maybe. I don't know.
Don't tell me it's out on Blu-ray and I can't watch it on my 360.
I don't know.
All right.
It's not out on anything yet. But July 31st, it's coming in some way, shape, or form.
All right.
Of course, you could probably find it online already. But that's neither here nor there. So earlier today, I sent you an email with some pictures in preparation for tonight's show. And the reply I got back was,
I believe I said, what the hell is this?
That's exactly what you said.
You know why?
Because what the hell was it?
I have no clue. Can you tell me what this picture is?
I could barely tell you what this picture is. The picture was from a strip from the newspapers.
Oh, okay.
70s, circa 70s. Mandrake the Magician.
I know nothing of him.
I've never heard of this strip before. Makes no sense to me. I know Prince Valiant, you know, and it sucks personally. I know the Spider-Man strip, also kind of weak. Mandrake the Magician, not really catching my attention.
Yeah.
The reason this is in tonight's news is because naturally they're making it into a movie, because Hollywood no longer has any original ideas.
Prince Valiant. Do you remember on the Family Channel there was the Prince Valiant show voiced by Robbie Benson?
I don't. I'm going to take your word for it.
Oh, man.
It was live action or it was animated?
No, it was animated. He has a very soothing voice, Robbie Benson.
Was it that kind of 70s Ralph Bakshi, like not actual animation? It was more like they show an image and there's some dialogue and music and then they cut to another image with more dialogue and music and
that's
the transition? No. Or it was actual animation?
I think it was pretty good if I remember correctly, but I'm sorry to digress. It's just Robbie Benson's voice does that to me.
Hey, well, you know.
What was the game he did the voice for King's Quest in? King's Quest 6, Mr. Fabulous with the answer.
Yeah, excellent. Mr. Fabulous in studio with
us. It's one of those great DOS games that you have to go back and play if you never have. Get the speaking version and Windows.
The speaking version so we can hear Mr. Benson's voice.
Yeah, wonderful.
So Chris Angel, who you may or may not know, the mind freak.
I've seen his face on some bulletin boards around there recently.
Well, that's because he had a big special this week.
I missed it.
But he's going to be playing Mandrake the Magician, apparently.
Oh, I could see that, though, because I saw the picture, and I saw the picture of the bulletin boards.
Yeah, it could work. Kind of long, flowing black hair and a dark complexion. Anyway, so I don't know if I should be excited about that. I kind of like Chris Angel stuff. I think he's pretty impressive. He's better than that David Blaine goofball, so you know.
I got some good pictures of David Blaine in the Globe. I'll put them on the
nice.
Put them on
Have
the
you
screen.
Ever seen that David Blaine spoof video? It's all over like break.com and YouTube. It's some guy doing street magic. He's doing David. Oh, you have to look it up. It's funny.
Okay.
We'll talk about it another time, maybe. We have a Speed Racer update. In Variety magazine earlier this week, they released the first image of the Mach 5.
The car. And what a car.
It looks pretty nice.
It looks like three penises.
All right. If you want to go the phallic route. I was going to say it kind of looks like, I don't know, the Mach 5, but you're much more creative than me.
I never got that cartoon. You know, when you just talked about they show one frame and then some lyrics or some dialogue and then some crazy.
That was Speed Racer.
Yeah, that was Speed Racer. I can't stand that. To me, that's like the laziest form of animation you can ever do.
Well, that was that really awful, like mid-70s Japanese brought over to America and showed on some channel shit animation.
They do that a lot in Pokemon, though, right?
They do. They do that a lot in anime in general. Too, I think. Yeah, it's some sort of Japanese influence.
Yeah, but it's so polarized. Some of the anime is absolutely beautiful,
sure.
And then you have the mass-produced thing that they put out every week or every day of every week, and it's just god-awful. You can't watch it.
But people do. They flock to it, especially Speed Racer.
It's those kids these days.
Bastards. I hate them all. All of them. I don't know. Kind of feeling a little sluggish tonight without Kev here. 2 weeks in a row.
That's because you didn't have a giant Starbucks black coffee before the show.
Is that what it is? I'm missing the coffee? No cracker?
I'm buzzing.
Oh, you're buzzing? All right. Well, then I'll try to pick up the pace a little. Let's talk about some DVDs that came out this week that maybe you care about. Maybe you don't. Fantastic Four, the extended edition. Do we really need this edition?
Well, I guess I would go straight to that one since I never saw it.
Since you never saw the original. Sure. So as someone who hasn't seen it, certainly I would think it's... probably a good purchase. It's probably about the same price point at this point at the same one if you get it on sale. The bonus features compared to the first one is not a whole lot. It's some extended scenes. I think there's some more. There's one more commentary track, I believe, than the first disc. And then, of course, the big draw, the big buzz, they did this with X-Men 1.5, is special behind-the-scenes featurette of Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
I have the X-Men 1.5. And the content on it is pretty good.
Yeah, but it's
so if it's anything
not,
like that, that's good.
It's not hugely better than the original special edition release of the first film. It's okay.
I mean,
but again, one of the biggest draws on that was all of the preview stuff for X-Men 2.
Oh, you know what else? I think it came with a ticket or two tickets.
Oh, yes.
I think maybe one ticket.
To go see X2, right?
Right.
I think this comes with a ticket as well, but you can't use it for the first 10 days that the film is open in the box office. And
that may have been the case too. You, but still,
yeah.
If you put a ticket that I know is $9 and the DVD is going to be 12 to 15,
sure.
Even if it's $20, you can almost rationalize any DVD purchase because it includes a free trip to the movies.
Of course.
Not including the $19 that you're going to spend on popcorn and jujubes, but at least you get to, you get something out of it.
Right. My point here is if you have the first edition of the DVD, I wouldn't break my legs or neck running out to get this one.
Don't break your leg.
Don't. No.
Right.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, you're right, though.
Robin Hood, the BBC drama hit series that's just wrapped up in the U.S., came out on DVD this week, season one.
Kevin likes to call it Sherwood Forest 90210.
He does. I don't know why. He hasn't watched an episode yet.
Maybe he's watched a little part of some episode.
Don't let him fool you.
Maybe not. Well, maybe he has, but I kind of want to see it.
It's good. It's really good, actually.
I wouldn't buy it unless it came with a ticket.
I wouldn't buy it either.
But
I'll tell you why I wouldn't buy it. Because the BBC DVD releases here in the United States are ridiculously priced. Price point on these things are somewhere between $80 and $100.
Right.
And the episode count is like 13.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Is it one per disc or is it like on four discs and it's that
it's,
price?
It's four discs, I'm sure, three discs, something like that. But still, I mean, 13 episodes, $80. Who the hell's going to spend that? Somebody, I guess, I'm sure, but
no. People will steal it, though.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you probably can already. If you go to
one of those sites that we don't talk about here,
those are often
the dark nets.
Yeah, exactly. And then my favorite this week on DVD, for the first time, finally, Chips, season one.
Yeah, see,
Punch.
That's why you're a giant dork, because that's a stupid show.
That is a stupid show, and I'm totally joking.
What I've seen about it on that show, it seems really dumb.
I really don't care for Chips or Eric Estrada.
Oh, I thought you really liked it.
No, not really. It just kind of came out this week, and I thought it was funny to mention it.
Well, let's keep the confrontational dynamic going. You like it. I think it's stupid. You're dumb, too.
All right, I am dumb and slightly retarded. All right, I'll add that in there for flavor.
That's not PC. I didn't say that.
Okay, who cares? PC? Since when is this show PC? Just because we haven't made a hood reference in about 20 episodes doesn't mean we're PC.
We should get some hood rats in here.
That's what I'm saying.
You more have to find them in the other studio, though.
Well, that's where they dwell. Maybe that's where Kev is. Battlestar Galactica. Done after season four. Sci-Fi Channel ending it after season four.
I haven't seen it, but I've read a lot about it, and I've heard a lot about it, and I've heard that it's good.
It is really good.
And I heard that it got better and better as it went on.
The miniseries was excellent.
Yeah.
As a standalone miniseries, it was really, really well put together. It was four episodes, really well put together, well done. The first episode of season one is probably one of the strongest launches for a sci-fi television series ever. Just character driven, storyline was really clean and made sense. The flow was amazing. The rest of season one was really, really strong. Season two had some slow spots. I haven't caught up all on season three yet, so I'm about to get into that. But season four, which is going to start in 2008, that's the final season.
Can I catch an episode of that online? Like a free one that they put online, like they do with Lost?
Sci-Fi Channel,
okay.
Because that's who runs it. They might have some online. I'm not sure what their policy is.
Because from looking at that show and what I've heard about it, it's one of those, I think if I took a look at the first episode and it was really that good, that's probably a DVD set I would buy.
Yeah. And come on, you know, Trisha Helfer, that alone is worth it.
But hopefully, I mean, maybe it's a good thing that they're ending it now because it's going to end on a high note, right?
Well, according to them, they're not canceling it because the show wasn't doing well or because they felt the ratings were slipping. They said that they had a definitive story arc planned out and that season four is where the storyline will wrap up. And that's just the appropriate spot to end it. They're not going to extend it for the sake of extending it like they did with Lost. And we saw what that did to that show. They're just going to, you know.
Hey, what did that do to that show? Fine. I think it's I think it's good at the end. Hopefully it'll be good. And I'll watch it eventually.
I hope so. I think it'll be good. But, you know, you never know.
But what does it matter what you think?
Absolutely nothing.
See, look at that. Confrontation.
I love it.
What's next, asshole?
I have no exciting new toy news this week. Do you have any game news, video game news? I don't have any this week.
Shadowrun came out for Xbox 360.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first game that you can play Vista versus Xbox 360
right.
over the Xbox Live service.
Right.
I've heard that the Xbox Live service isn't too good on the Vista platform. It's not as fleshed out. It's not nearly as robust as it is on the 360. But it's a bit of a an innovation that you can play cross platform.
That aspect of it certainly is good, and hopefully that. Hopefully it'll be developed further, but some of the other aspects of the game don't sound too hot. I mean, the review I read today, the game seems kind of flat. Some of the gameplay isn't great. Some of the people playing on the Xbox have complaints versus people playing on the, that was my phone. I apologize. Playing on the Vista.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the thing with it, it's always going to be unfair if when you're using different controllers.
Sure.
And the fact that the people on the on the PC are using the mouse and keyboard, and if on the Vista using the dual analog sticks, I don't know how that's gonna work. Until I get my hands on it. But I'm always a fan of everybody using the same controller, and I like to see the dual analog stick be the standard controller. It's never gonna happen though, because there are people who absolutely love the mouse and keyboard on the PC and think that it is
the be all and end all.
Far and away the best controller that there is. I think it's a little bit unfair in that you can, jump in the air, do a 360 or 720 and shoot a guy and look up and down instantly. And you're only limited by by your hardware, how sensitive it is and things like that. Whereas in the stick, at least on the dual sticks, it's an equalizer. Anyway, I heard the game play itself is decent, but I think you should at least rent it to just check it out for the Vista versus Xbox Live on 360 feature at the very least.
And what about the Halo 3 beta? Does that wrap up this week or is that next week?
No, that's, depending when this comes out, I'm going to feel safe and say that's this week.
It is this week.
Right.
Okay.
They extended it because there were problems getting in with the whole crackdown issue that they had with the discs not working. So they extended it, I believe, into the next weekend. But that's it.
And then nothing until the game?
Until September.
September when it gets released fully.
Yep.
Did they say why they were cutting the beta short? I mean, as someone who's beta tested a couple games before in the past, at least some PC games like MMOs and stuff like that, normally they run the beta up until the point where the game launches, and then there's some sort of transition where the server will go down, and then the next day or 2 days later, the server pops back up and it's full launch of the game. Why the cutoff so early?
Bungie's always been one of these companies that's had a very good community communication avenue with the website, and they had a couple of those online reality games, and even as far back as Marathon, they kind of had some email things going to kind of engross the players and the fans of the mythos and the story. I think they kind of extended the beta as a way of saying, all right, we realize that we may have missed some things in Halo 2 and that we kind of maybe screwed up the balance. I mean, Halo 1 was very unbalanced. You'll talk to any of those developers, give an interview, and they'll all say that the pistol was completely way overpowered, and that you can, it have zoom and headshots were very powerful and things like that. So really you should be using the pistol and nothing else. So I think Halo 2, they kind of, it didn't get any better. They introduced dual wielding. It was a little bit unfair in that you can do like what is known as the noob combo, where you charge the plasma pistol, let it go towards somebody. It has a very strong tracking ability. It hits them, takes down their shields instantly. And in that time, you can switch to the battle rifle and follow up with a headshot. And it's pretty much an instant kill because you get three relatively strong bullets to the head. And I think that the beta was kind of their way of saying, let's test this out and see how it works in the public first and see what they come up with. Okay. So it was, number one to kind of say, and they have said that they've kind of adjusted the balance on some of the weapons already, and they're going to make those changes in the final version based on the feedback in the beta. So not only it's a beta test in, a test of the network code and a test of how people like maps and things, but also in the balance of the game, and they're going to take that into account when they release it, which is really good because you want it to be solid when it goes out the door.
Sure. Sure. I mean, that's going to be Xbox probably biggest push against, not PlayStation 3 because that's floundering, but gaming in general.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be their flagship title end of the year and probably for a year or two to come after that.
Excellent. Any other gaming news? Anything else exciting going on?
No, I'm slightly pissed that I wasn't in the beta, but no.
Well, I'm sorry. Sorry.
And I tried so hard.
Bastard. Did you not have Crackdown?
No. I wasn't going to buy that game just for the beta.
Ah, okay. I know a couple people that did. I think most people did, to be honest with you. But
yeah, I didn't fall for it.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Fantastic. In miscellaneous news. Look, that's a smooth transition right there.
It's good.
They're coming out with a Harry Potter theme park.
Wow. Is it going to be big?
It's going to be part of the Universal theme parks down in Florida, but it's not a part of the existing parks. It's going to be its own completely Harry Potter based theme park. Now, as far as square footage is concerned, mm-hmm. I don't know, but it's definitely going to have, you know, a handful of worlds or mm-hmm. lands or whatever you want to call them based on your theme park experience and rides and stuff like that. You know, if you're familiar with the Harry Potter movies and stories and stuff like that, you'll know a lot of the places, Hogwarts and Mead Town or whatever the hell it was.
I don't know.
But I can't believe this phenomenon has reached this level where they're developing an entire theme park around it. And here, too, it's going to be in Florida, I believe. So it's not even overseas. It's not like in the UK or anything like that.
Don't you feel like theme parks are just never enough? If you go, you go on a couple rides, and then you're like, all right, what else is there? Well, I'm going to sit on a big mushroom for a table and, you know, have overpriced burgers or something. It's never enough unless you're 8 years old.
Yeah, well, theme parks just, I don't know. I'm a Disney freak. And I'm a Disney nut, so for some reason I can make an exception for those parks. I think probably because I don't actually ride any of the rides. Mm-hmm. I kind of just walk around and enjoy it and then, you know, get blitzed at night at Pleasure Island. That's neither here nor there. But I don't know. I just don't think a Harry Potter theme park is going to do great after a year or two, especially because the series is wrapping up. The movies are going to be wrapping up in another year or two, probably before the park opens. So there's going to be no continuing stories, no continuing characters. I mean, I don't think it'll ever fall off the radar, but it's going to get old with nothing new coming out. So can it sustain a theme park long term? I don't know.
Right. You think that they would have done something like this maybe 2.5 years ago or 2 years ago.
But even then, even doing it 2.5 years ago, well, it certainly would have made a little bit more sense because you would have had a little bit more life out of it. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a franchise that is going to end. I mean, the author, Rowling, has said that she's not going to write anymore. Mm-hmm. There's going to be no more Potter. She doesn't want other people to write it, so she's not going to sign the rights away to allow them to do, you know, everybody does a Star Wars book and, you know, everybody does a Star Trek book, that kind of thing. No one else is going to write Harry Potter themed books. So where is the interest going to stay 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now to sustain a theme park? I just don't think it makes sense to me.
Well, they have a couple options then. At the end of, say, 5 years when the interest wanes, they can, number one, blow it up in a giant explosion.
That'd be cool.
And invite, like, you know, 5 million people to watch it. Number two, they can turn it into any late night kind of drinking
theme park,
you know, like the boardwalk that they have at Disney or whatever they call that. Or
Pleasure
the,
Island.
Yeah, Pleasure Island. And they have one at Universal.
Yeah, City Walk.
Those things are great.
Yeah, of course.
Over, you know, it's expensive, but they're great.
I guess. I mean, if that's what they want to do, but
I'm in favor of blowing it up.
I like blowing it up, too. At least it's interesting. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie to you. When the park opens, I'll probably go once to check it out. I mean, I'm down in Florida at least once a year, so I'd probably check it out just for interest's sake, but I can't imagine it having any really sort of long-term life. I don't know. From a business standpoint, it doesn't make sense to me. That's it.
All right.
That's all I have.
But that was
a
lot,
in the news.
That was a lot. That was
good. It was a lot.
You're very good.
I'm trying. I'm really not feeling it. I don't know. The absence, the big absence is really disturbing me.
It is a change.
It's a little odd. Fuck them. Let's take a break and come back.
Give me a sign. Hello out there. Everyone in Geekland. Yeah, that's you. I mean you. This is Daddy Fantastic. That's right. You know, Mr. Fantastic's father. I know you didn't think he had any relatives, but he does. I've been thinking the only way Mr. Fantastic is ever going to get out of that basement of mine is if this show really takes off. Yeah, he lives in the basement. We let him out to do the show, but I want him out of there permanently. So what Mrs. Fantastic and I need you to do is visit the iTunes store and subscribe to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. That's Big Kev's Geek. Yeah, you know what I mean. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You do that by typing Geek Stuff. I know that's a little strange, but it's Geek Stuff into the search field. And then you hit some keys, and before you can say David Copperfield, you're there. It's unbelievable. It's just something really that's fantastic. Yeah, that's right. Daddy Fantastic. Also, don't forget to visit the website on the internets. The address is big. It's very big, this address. It's just so long to get it out. It's Big Kegs. What's the guy's name? Would you please tell me? What's his name? Big Kev, that's it. I knew it. BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can't miss it. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. It's not time to make one more thing. I messed up before. If you would like to hear more Big Kev's Geek Stuff, email eric.logan@xmradio.com. Don't forget.
And we are back with Geek Stuff, episode 60, Missing in Action. Where the hell's Big Kev?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm always tempted to open with a giant fart when we come back.
You could.
No,
just
but I don't
blast it at me.
I don't want to put my ass near this, near the mic, because I think this piece of foam is going to absorb it. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's just...
Well, I'll we could just mark it, and that'll be your mic from now. Oh, that was pleasant. If that stinks, I'm going to be really upset.
I'll open the window.
Speaking of things that stink, no, not really. We're dedicating the rest of this entire show to what I'm holding here in my hands. And I know you're going to love this.
Yeah.
And this is appropriate because Kev's not here and he would hate it. This is Optimash Prime, the Mr. Potato Head by Play School, Potatoes in Disguise, More Than Meets the Fry.
Matt, I hate these things. I hate these Mr. Potato Head knockoffs.
Why?
But this one is awesome.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you like it.
Because it has what really does it for... I like Optimus Prime mainly because of the head sculpt or whatever. It's something about the head. I think it's very... very regal. It just says leader.
Uh-huh.
And this is mostly head.
It is mostly head. It has Optimus's full mask. Of course, the eye portion of the mask is open to reveal the goofy, googly potato head eyes.
Signature potato head eyes.
But you know what? Overall, the design isn't bad. It's actually... I don't know if I like this more than Spider Spud or not. I liked Spider Spud because it actually came with a costume. If you remember, Spider Spud was just a potato head, and it had a spandex nylon Spider-Man costume that slipped over the potato, thus transforming him into Spider Spud.
I saw it, but I don't remember that. I remember it being spandex
fully removable.
Like that. All right. That's cool.
That's pretty cool too, but Optimash Prime. I don't know. He's... You know, he comes with all the normal potato head parts if you want, the nose, the teeth, the mustache, etc. He doesn't come with normal arms, which I'm a little surprised about. I kind of thought he would. Unless, of course, they're hiding them in his ass, which is a possibility. The ever-famous Prime ass, or potato head ass, I guess I should say, where they hide all the bits and pieces.
Yeah, it's a trap door.
Yeah, pretty much. Like on the pajamas you had when you were a kid.
Right.
But I don't know. I just kind of like the design on it. It's little truck
I like
face.
The arms.
The arms,
yeah. He's got this signature blocky Optimus Prime arms, and they kind of have two exhaust pipes on the shoulders. And in the chest, he's got that double grill that is just screams Optimus Prime. When you see that, that's even when you see that on a truck on the street.
Yeah,
you think, oh, that's Optimus Prime to yourself. I mean, at least I do.
Yeah, well, you know. And I should mention that Optimash Prime does not have the controversial flames that are on the deco of Prime from the movie.
Does this box have the movie logo, or does it have the older logo?
You know what? It's kind of a generic logo. It's just the kind of brushed metal Transformers logo, which I believe they are using for the film. But I don't think that's that far off from the original cartoon logo.
Right.
It was part of the Hasbro. Hasbro owns Play School, for those of you who may or may not know. It was part of the Hasbro release of Transformers toys. So it's definitely a tie-in to the film. I don't know, I kind of like it. I really do. It's kind of neat.
This one, I really don't like the other ones. Wouldn't want them on my desk. I wouldn't mind this one near my desk.
Okay, like in the vicinity of your desk.
Yeah, see, like that shelf up there,
right?
I wouldn't mind that. It's got a Raphael, Proto Man from Mega Man,
R2,
a couple Street Fighters. There's an R2.
See, Cammy up there,
it would fit up there.
You know, I think he would be good. Like if you have a windowsill in your bathroom, preferably right on the other side of the toilet, so you can kind of like talk to him and stare at him while you're peeing in the morning. That might be.
He's a leader. He's the leader of the Autobots. He's not a psychiatrist.
but has he's got access to the AllSpark?
He does have another soothing voice.
He does have a soothing. Well, it's Peter Cullen for you. All right, I'm done.
Okay.
I like it.
That's good.
But that's not really what I wanted to talk
The real
about.
Question is, will it blend?
I think it'll blend. That's not what I wanted to talk about, though. I got an email from some listeners of the show who happened to be part of a toy company. October Toys is the name of the company.
Okay.
And they have this product. It's a vinyl product based on Tux.
The Linux mascot.
The Linux mascot. That cute little penguin.
Mm-hmm. He is cute.
These are 3-inch vinyl figures. Like most urban vinyl, there is no articulation or anything. It's really just a basic sculpt and paint job. But they're really creative. They're really pretty neat. They're on series 2 now. I think between the two series, there's 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17 in total, I believe, or 16 in total between the two series. So,
and they're calling them Gwyn's.
Yes.
G-W-I-N.
Does it say why they're calling it Gwyn on the packaging anywhere?
Well, I would assume it's Tux is a penguin.
Ah, right.
I see you've thought about this a lot.
You're smart. No, you know what? I was enamored with this one that I'm holding here in my hand that I'll get to in a second. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think too much into the Gwyn thing.
You want to start with this one? Because this is the basic Tux model.
We should start with that one. That one is Series 1.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Well, this is Tux. It's basically what looks to be from afar a lump of vinyl. It's hollow, right?
Yeah.
And it's painted up to be Tux the Penguin, and it's in the exact shape you've seen the mascot portrayed on some of your favorite open source GPL Linux-based applications.
Right.
And all of the other ones are kind of a knockoff on that shape, but painted up differently, and I might add very creatively.
Yeah, some of them really stand out a little bit more than others, I think, but I'm going to go real quick through what's in Series 1.
Okay.
We've got Tim the Pirate, which naturally has an appeal to me because...
you want the pirate.
I do. I want the pirate.
Right.
There's Skele-Gwyn, which is a little skeleton, which okay. I kind of like because it's definitely the skeleton of the penguin. So it's got like the little webbed feet and like you could see the little webbed feet bones and stuff. It's pretty funny. There's Rubber D, which obviously is a rubber ducky design. Strange Fruit, which I'm not quite sure. I'm looking at the design on it.
Do we have that one? That's that one?
I do. I have it here.
Okay.
And sure.
Thank you.
And the design is very familiar to me, but I'm not sure why.
Hmm. He looks kind of like some of the killer tomatoes from outer space. Is that what they're called? Killer Attack, yeah, of, Attack the killer of the Killer tomatoes. That's kind of what the mouth looks like to me.
It kind of looks like it kind of looks like a cross between the Cheshire Cat and the Cheshire Cat and a killer tomato. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, he's got a green face with a giant grin painted on it, and rather than his eyes being where Tux's eyes would be, they are also on his chest, so it looks like he's a giant face.
Right.
And then right above that where Tux's beak is, there's an eyeball painted over it with some blue or green flames above it.
Right.
So it's kind of just like an alien pear looking thing. That's what I think it is.
Oh, strange fruit.
Yeah. So, but this is a good exhibit of how creative and how there is a lot of attention to detail on them, and they're very abstract in a way, in that you can just kind of take a look and say, oh, that's cool, and I really don't know why. Some of them, like Tux, look exactly like the Tux mascot, but some of them, and Tim the Pirate, but some of them are just unique in their own right.
Well, are you looking at Hard to Swallow there? Do you have that one in front of you? Because I was looking at that one
when
I got these, and I couldn't quite figure it out at first, probably because I'm a little slow. But the more I looked at it, that's really kind of creepy and funny. Do you see what it is?
It looks to be a pink, I'm assuming a pink penguin.
I think it's a plucked penguin.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. And he's going into what look like giant jaws that have eyes in the very bottom of it. So it looks like somebody is eating the plucked penguin from the bottom.
That's really kind of unique.
Yeah, they're not afraid to be a little gross. You see the Fred one?
Yeah, it's kind of got a caveman thing, so I guess they're going for a...
I think that's a Frankenstein.
Is that a Frankenstein?
You can't see if there's any bolts coming out of the...
See, I'm looking at the purple leopard print cloth that he's wearing. That's very reminiscent of Fred's orange leopard print cloth from the Flintstones.
Right.
And that's where I thought they were going with that when they called it Fred 2.
I think you're right.
And then there's Frosty, which is kind of, you know, he's got a scarf and a little snowflake on his foot. Kind of cute.
That's the one for girls.
And Backbiter, which I still can't figure out.
What is that?
Well, Backbiter we don't have here to actually take a look at, right?
No, we don't have him here.
Yeah, that one's very abstract, very obscure. It looks like a giant round eye in a penguin.
Yeah,
it's very hard to understand.
I don't know.
But I do have two others here. One okay. which is based, it's a Halloween motif, and it looks like...
That's from series two now.
What's this one called? Let me see.
It's Octogwin.
Octogwin. So it's this giant black octopus kind of consuming a pumpkin, a jack-o'-lantern. So it's a Halloween themed one, and I think it's really cool. The octopus kind of looks like the two aliens from The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And again, Tux's beak is painted up to be an eye.
Okay.
I think that one's cool. And here is my, besides Tux, because I would be very proud to have Tux on my computer monitor, my other favorite is Jeebus.
Oh.
And it is basically Tux painted up to look like Jesus Christ with a heart, a flaming heart with thorns around it on his chest.
You know, that one is actually what allowed us to talk about this line in some way, shape, or form, because when I got the email from the folks over at October Toys, that was the one they pointed out. They said it would be good for us to consider maybe on our next religious show when we have Brother Billy back on the show. Uh-huh. And I looked at him and I was like, we got to talk about more than just Jeebus. I mean, he's really cool, but come on.
Yeah. I mean, these are little pieces of art in their own right. I mean, Jeebus is good because it's kind of like socio-political, and it's a nice little piece of art, and the flaming heart is just perfect. But
I will bring it up when Brother Billy is back on the show.
We'll save this one for Brother Billy then.
Yeah, man. You also have over there Bunny. Is that correct?
I don't have Bunny.
I thought you had Bunny. Maybe that was the one with the big teeth. Oh, I really like him too. He's kind of unique. It's kind of like this deranged, crazed bunny looking guy. Really kind of, I don't know, kind of reminds me a little bit of the killer bunny from Monty Python with a flair.
Yeah, he has like these giant, I thought this was a walrus at first, but it's actually much better than that. It is, you say it's like a giant, giant buck-toothed crazy rabbit with these claw hands.
It could almost be somewhere in the Gagne series of Insanely Twisted Rabbits. For those of you who don't know, do a Google search online for Gagne, G-A-G-N-E. He's an artist that does these really bizarre, deformed kind of rabbits. I don't know how else to describe them. Sideshow puts out some product based on them. They're all polystone and painted pretty. And he kind of fits in there. Real quick, I'm gonna mention a couple more that's in the line, and then I'm gonna get to my favorite one.
Okay.
Out of all of them.
Okay.
We have Voodoo Stew, which is kind of like it's like a green zombie type of
zombie thing.
Tux with the pot painted on his gut and the steam coming up, kind of cute looking.
Eats brains.
Tree, which is another one I don't quite get. I mean, there's a tree painted on him, and it's cool. It's got some sort of like twisted looking worm on his stomach. And a bat or a bird flying around in the background.
That one is most obscure because it's not that he's painted up. He's more like he's painted with a scene.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe that's a sign of something that they're going to move on to in the future. But I like it, though.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have Captain Singer over there?
I do. Yeah, I do.
That's another one I don't get. Do you get that one? Maybe I'm reading too much into these.
Well, he's kind of a green penguin with two X's for eyes.
Right.
He has this... It's either his slit throat or another mouth that's bleeding. I take it to be his slit throat with his maybe tongue or something coming out of it in his neck region. And then on the top of his head, he has a bloody pentagram.
Okay, so there's got to be some horror movie reference that I'm missing there that I don't know because I'm not a huge...
I really just hope that it's original.
Maybe.
If it is, I mean, I think it's a cool original design, even if there isn't anything that it's based on.
But let's get to my personal favorite.
Yeah, I knew you'd like this one. I like this one, too.
Dragwin is the name of this one.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at it sitting up the way you would look at the rest of these, and there'll be some pictures on the site we'll have that you could see, it doesn't look like much. I mean, you see a couple of designs painted on the stomach of it. The eyes are kind of high on the head, and you see the beak. And
he's mostly red, right?
And he's mostly red, and you're looking at him, and you're like... Well, what is he really? I mean, I get the name, but I don't get the theme. And then you turn him on his side,
And it's a dragon head.
And it all becomes so clear.
It's really kind of cool. The designs on his stomach form the horns on his head and the horn on his nose. They also form the eyes. The feet become the wings or the ears, I guess, which are like the smaller ears, wings. And then you kind of have the grin painted there with the underside of the belly and the fangs in the front. This really is, I don't know, it's the most dynamic piece, I think, because of the two ways you could pose it, I guess.
It's definitely the most playable.
Well, and I'm all about playability, really. So, I don't know. I think these are really kind of unique. I think this is what I like to see in the toy industry. You know, we can spend hours and hours and hours talking about the next DC Direct line and the next Sideshow 12-inch, which, don't get me wrong, I love. And they have a place and they have a purpose. But as far as creativity goes and as far as overall uniqueness in the marketplace goes, that's not really where those products lie. Really, those products are, they have a large fan base based on popular characters. You judge them based on likeness or art style, based on someone's drawings or a particular actor, perhaps. But when it comes to vinyl, urban vinyl, toys like these, it's really an artist's rendition that you're looking at. There's a lot more creativity and uniqueness that goes into this product. And this is really what I like in the toy industry. This is where, if I could do nothing but, this is what I would be interested in. If I had to focus.
Whether or not they're based on an existing property or license or whatever, the way that they're done is so artistic. It's like, you know, you have something special there. And I mean, I would be proud to have a couple of them on my desk and just have them sit there, and they don't have to be playable.
No, not at all.
It's just they look really good. And you can tell that a lot of thought went into them and a lot of work. I can't tell if they're hand painted or whatever, or painted some other way, but it really doesn't matter because they look very, very authentic, and like a lot of love went into them.
Yeah. I mean, they're just really creative. You can go over to octobertoys.com to check them out. You can also go to gwinarmy.com. That's
right.
GWINARMY.com to check them all out there. This is the kind of product that I think you should support, because this is, I think, really important to the toy industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so unique, because they're so original and creative. And I think you're going to see a lot more of this come. I mean, we've already seen a huge upswing in urban vinyl. And so I think that trend is going to continue. And this is certainly a great addition to that. I'd also like to mention that the gentleman and lady that are associated with October Toys that sent us this product also do their own online video cast, which is pretty good. It's pretty funny. I'm not going to lie. I never watched it before until I got the product and I learned a little bit more about them, but I did check it out. It's called Toy Break. Toybreak.com is the name of the address of the website. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's a video cast, and you know, they talk about a lot of product. They talk about some of their own product, what's going on in the industry. It's a shame that we can't find Big Kev. Because of Big K, where the hell did that come from? It's a shame we can't find Big Kev to discuss this, because watching the episode that I watched of Toy Break, one of the first things they discuss is Toy Fair Magazine. And one of the first things they discuss about Toy Fair Magazine is an article in there that goes on and on and on and on ad nauseum, talking about Battlestar Galactica, the TV show. And they complain that there's nothing to do with toys. So they feel the same way we do.
They blend.
They do.
You know what I'd like to see?
What?
I think this would be really cool. Let's not tell him, but let's try and make one. Is a Gwyn of Big Kev.
Ooh.
You could have his kind of floppy blonde hair on top. You could have one of those, his black t-shirt with the green skulls on it.
Totally.
Some little, what is he? He has like combat boots or something? Tim's or whatever they are.
Okay, so we need someone from the action figure chop shop who is probably doesn't need to apply too much additional sculpting to the product.
No, but
is
no
really solid at the painting.
Mm-hmm.
That can turn one of these into a Big Kev.
Yeah. Let's keep it on the DL though.
Okay. Between us and a handful of listeners that are actually listening.
A handful?
Come on. I'm just joking.
I told you, today I was walking in the mall and I had somebody yell out to me, Mr. Fantastic.
See, you get all the recognition. And the other Geek Stuff crew.
And I say, yeah, baby.
Man, I'm so jealous. But you definitely should check out this product. You should check out gwinarmy.com. You should check out octobertoys.com. They do have some other product that's out there that's really unique and really interesting and fun. Some more mass-produced stuff. A piece by the Four Horsemen, who, if you don't know, are some of the best sculptors on the market right now, who have an original line coming out, and they have an exclusive, I think, that they're doing through them. You could check out their cast at toybreak.com. Let them know that we sent you, and enjoy the product. It's really unique, and I think you should support it. That's all I got.
Let's wrap it up.
All right, baby.
Don't call me baby.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and whenever I'm in the US, I listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and whenever I'm not in the US, I listen to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com. Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and when I'm not eating my bubble and squeak, I'm listening to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com. Hello, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. When I'm not eating my bubble and squeak or shooting the chavs, I like to listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. More bangers and mash, please. Gee, howdy. This is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. Whenever I'm in the U.S. and speak like house, I listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Bubble and squeak.
Maddie, we're back for the wrap-up. This is episode 60 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Missing in Action. What did we talk about today?
Talked a little bit about everything. Some DVD releases. Maybe you want to check out Robin Hood Season 1 from the BBC, although I think it's too expensive. Don't check out Chip Season 1. It's really not worth it. Fantastic Four Extended Edition, maybe if you don't have the first one. A couple of movie news. Nothing too important. Maybe Neil Gaiman directing Death. That's pretty big. I'm interested to follow that. Video game news. Shadowrun. Maybe, maybe not. If maybe. You really want to check out that think cross-platform thing.
Think yeah. about renting.
I think that was the bulk of it. Harry Potter, the amusement park. Nah, who cares?
They're blowing it up in 5 years.
I hope so. I want to be there for that. Mushroom cloud and all. Give me a yellow suit and some sort of protective gear. Goggles, maybe.
Turn into a giant parking lot where you can just tailgate for days on end.
And drink. That'd be awesome. We also talked a little bit about Optimash Prime from PlaySchool, one of the sister companies to Hasbro. Neat little figure, probably one of the best in the Mr. Potato Head movie trend lines, although I really like Spider Spud too. You could check them out, Hasbro.com or PlaySchool.com. And we spent a little bit of time talking about the Gwyn Army based on Tux, the Linux mascot. These are some great little vinyl pieces. I guess they're about 3 inches tall. Really uniquely created, really awesomely painted. Definitely worth checking out. GwynArmy.com or OctoberToys.com is the company that puts them out. And again, those guys do a video cast that you can check out at ToyBreak.com. Let them know that we sent you. Again, I really think this is some great product. You should check it out. This is the kind of stuff you should be supporting in addition to all the other great stuff we talk about here, mm-hmm. Sideshow and DC and Tonner and all that good stuff. You can check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Don't forget to subscribe to Geek Stuff on the iTunes store.
And leave us a nice little review, maybe.
You love it when they leave reviews.
Yeah, it makes my day.
It feels good on the inside.
It does, a little bit. You can check us out at MySpace, too. Also, MySpace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff. And I think that's about it for now.
Hopefully, we'll have Big Kev back in Studio A next week.
For episode 61, yet to be named.
I'm Mr. Fantastic.
And I am Matt, or Crew from Geek Stuff.
And we're out of here.
And on that note, we cue the music.